You could cry messed up, but you don't have to cry messed up. Because our Lord is a holy Lord. Amen. I want you to turn your Bibles today to the, let's go to the book of Leviticus. We have a great opportunity to talk about Jesus today. Yeah. Best person we could ever talk good about is Jesus. Amen. Yeah. Amen. You know you talk some smack about people. You don't call it gossiping. You just say, well, I just want to remind you about something. But anyhow, I want to remind you about Jesus today. Yeah. Amen. Let's stand as we read one verse of Scripture, Leviticus chapter 30. We have a very good kingdom message, a message for the church, for those who want to be a part of God's kingdom. We're in this teaching series now that God has really blessed us to enter into. Verse number 30, Leviticus chapter 27. From the Amplified, the Bible says, "And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord." Heavenly Father, over the next several minutes, as we delve into your word, teach us what we need to know. For some of us, it might be a refresher. For others, this might be brand new revelation. We ask, God, that you allow us to articulate the words that you want us to put out so everybody can hear. Once again, allow our minds to become the canvas that your words can be painted upon, so we'll have a vivid picture of what you want us to do in your kingdom and for your kingdom. We love you and we thank you. We honor you in the name which is above every name, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus our Messiah. Amen. Be seated, everybody. You know, in our teachings, we're looking at how in our walk with the Lord, we can improve and be consistent. You might want to write that down. We must improve and be consistent. And so as we begin to progress through the teachings, it is imperative for families, it's imperative for businesses, it's imperative for couples, it's imperative for ball teams, for even ministries. It's imperative that we look at our vision, and then we look at the Word of God, and we see how both work together. Our vision, our house vision, should never be in opposition to the work of God and the Word of God. Say amen, somebody. So understanding this, I'm going to be sharing some subjects that you might think, well, I already know that. I've been saved a long time. Listen, faith cometh by hearing. Amen. Every time I opened the Bible, I was just studying the Bible, and I got some insights that made me glad. I started crying because the Lord is so good to us. You know, if God just gave us a dead letter and said, here, read this and try and make it, it'd be one thing. But this is a living book. And whether you go to Leviticus or Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel, or 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Solomon, wherever you go, you're going to find out that life is there. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, the Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Doesn't matter where you go, you'll find out that life is in the book. And this is why many nations make it forbidden for you to have a copy of this Bible, because this destroys their religion and takes down their ideologies. So anyhow, when we get into the Word of God, like we've read here in Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30, listen to what the Bible says again. God speaks here. He says, "And all the tithe of the land." Now, the word "all" means what? Some.
All.
Everything, right? So God says, "All the tithe of the land." Everybody say, "All the tithe."
All.
You know, I don't know where in the body of Christ people think they can be manini and just give God a little bit. It's not like you're paying God off as a mafia agent. If God says all, listen, you don't need Hebrew, you don't need Greek. I tell you, you don't even need Aramaic here. No, some of you might have want to heard it in Latin, but I'm just going to say it in English. All, God says all. Everybody say all.
All.
Beautiful. All the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree. Seed of the land, fruit of the tree. The Bible says it is the Lord's. Everybody say, it is the Lord's. Do you realize that in his great love, God has instituted a covenant, a foolproof plan of success for all of his children to succeed in life. You don't have to struggle a day in your life if you believe in Jesus Christ. If you are part of his kingdom, there should never be a day of want in your life. How can you say that? The 23rd Psalm says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not what? Yeah, want means lack. You need something. The psalmist says, oh, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm not going to have anything that he's not going to meet the need of. Now you say, well, hang on now, Sloopy, because I refute that right now, and I rebuke you too. Now let me share this with you. The reasons we have wants that become so big and overburdened, let me tell you why, overbearing. We're not looking at the Word of God like we should. Now, first of all, establish this in your heart. God's Word is truth. Okay, I'll take it up a notch. God's Word is absolute truth. God's Word is stronger than the IRS. It's stronger than the U.S. government. God's Word is better than George Bush's words. Better than Linda Lingle's words. I mean nothing against them, but they're just humans that one day will pass away. My Bible declares that God's Word is forever. It's eternal. And it's forever recorded and settled. Not debatable, settled in heaven. Heaven is God's home, amen? That's up there. But on earth, he wants to live in us. So now if he lives in us, that means his Word got to come in too. Did you hear that? If God lives in us, then his Word needs to live in us. And if his Word lives in us, it's established. And if the established Word of God is established in your life, you have no trouble. The trouble comes when you try to take God's established Word out of you and put in man's theology and man's interpretation. In this church, there should be no broke individuals. In this church, there should be nobody with a lack. Nobody. If we apply the Word of God correctly, no one should be out there looking and scrounging around. Nobody. The reason we have somebody's doing that is because they're not appropriating the Word of God. Now, I know it's a tough statement. This is my opening statement. I need to really grab your attention. Because God's Word, it's impossible for God to lie. Impossible. So if God spoke his words, that means there are no lies in his words. Now realizing and recognizing that the Word of God also contains the word of the devil, and he's a father of lies. So somebody might say, well, I don't know, I read something in the Bible, that's a lie. But you know, God included it to allow us to understand what his word is in comparison to men's words. And what his word is in comparison to the words of that no good fiend called the devil. How many of you still understand the devil is a defeated foe? Yeah. So when he comes around you, there are several things you shall tell him. Fee, fi, fo, you defeated. Now watch this. The Bible tells us something very, very powerful. Once again, you and I must understand that tithing has a spiritual and natural concept which is based on one's obedience. You cannot argue the tithe. You cannot argue the tithe. If you argue the tithe, stop breathing. Tithing is like breathing. Every breath you draw is from God. I don't care if you're on oxygen. That was made from God. Everybody say every. Everybody say every means plenty. Every breath you draw is from God. Amen? Why? Because God loves you so much. Can you imagine if God, now you know, if you go around to some filling stations today, used to be called service stations, but now they're called filling stations. Now, if you go around there, now they charge you for air. Can you imagine, before air used to be free, right? Can you imagine if God started billing you for the air you breathe? You'd have to work three more jobs. Just especially if you're a breather. Come on now. God says, I'm not going to charge you for that. But I want to see if you'd bless me. I want to see if you would bless me for what I've given you. When I look outside and I see the ultraviolet rays coming down from the SUN up there 93 million miles away from us as it comes onto the ionosphere, the atmosphere, and through the clouds and settles down upon planet Earth, I thank God for it. Why? Because things grow all because of God. When I see the waving palm trees, when I look at the pandanus tree, and when I look outside at the African tulip and the jacaranda tree, and I look at the kamani tree, and I look at the leaves, the tea leaves, and I look at all these beautiful things, I know God made this one. God don't make hybrids. Say amen, somebody. Aren't you glad about that? When I look at the rainbow shower tree, it does more than make leaves. It displays its beauty as God. The golden shower tree. Oh, the wonderful thing that God gives us to enjoy. Imagine if God was going to charge us for that. I'd pay a whole lot of money. People pay bucks to come to the Hawaiian Islands to see all of the beautiful plants and trees and things that we have here. And we take it for granted. We see it every single day. Complain as we rake the leaves, don't we? The entire nation of Israel had to learn this important principle. Here's a big word, together. They weren't tithing. So God says, I'm going to start something here that's going to keep you guys, even in the wilderness, tithing. 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 Everybody said, how do you pronounce that? Tithing. What does that mean? A tenth. Of what? A tenth. God wants a tenth. Everybody say tenth. Now, you know, that's only minimal right there. God says, I want a tenth, but actually he wants all. I got to tell you the truth. God wants all. He wants your all. Until he gets your all, he'll never get your tenth. I know how to preach on that one right there. Until God gets your all, he'll never get your tenth. People sit down, they're like, well, you know, I say, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, that with the mighty burning fire, I got my mind on the Lord. I'm running for my life, You a robber if you don't give God his tithe, you better keep running. Until God got you all, he'll never get his tenth. You said that three times, you still ain't got it. Until got you all, he'll never get your tenth. Some people tell me, even if I didn't have to tithe, I could have paid my bill. That's a real not good way to see it. I just put another phrase in there. I was going to say not good. I was going to say something else. He said, why do we have to give? Most Christians who are broke do not give to God. Most people who get upset that we teach on giving aren't givers. And the sad thing about it is, not even a tithe of the body of Christ tithes. Do you understand that? If tithe is tenth, not even a tenth of the body of Christ tithes or gives. They're takers, but they're not givers. And that, my friend, is pitiful. Pitiful. A pitiful fool that continues to do that, as Mr. T would say. So we're going to learn some things together. Is that all right? Might as well, because the children of Israel had to learn this together. I'm quite sure when Haim went home to his tent, he said to his wife, Moses said we have to tithe. She says, what is that, dear? Ten. Of what? Of everything we have. Whether of the field or of the trees. We don't have trees. We're in the wilderness. Then of the field, because we got animals. See, God established the first fruits. He says, the firstborn is mine. I called my dad recently and I said, Dad, just want to remind you, Holy Spirit, I was studying. Holy Spirit said, call you and remind you, I'm your firstborn that thereby I received the first fruits. He said, I told you that. I said, no, I got to remind you. I haven't forgotten, Dad. Apparently, you have. I said, now, everything you have is mine. I said, if you give it to my kid brother, I'm going to hang him and I'm going to get you. I said, because we have to follow God's godly principle. I am your firstborn son. It comes to me. I told you that. I said, no, Dad, listen, you told me something, but you're doing something else. I said, listen to me. God allowed me to come here first. There's a reward for being first, based upon God's principle. Now, you can be the firstborn, but be out of the will of God like Esau and not get the first fruits. So I said, Daddy, I'm telling you, that's mine. What's in the bank is mine. What you're thinking about giving to my kid brother is mine. And any other brother I got and sisters, I'm first up. Why are you telling me this? I said, because I want what is mine. And I said, put it in black and white because I want it. Because you die, I want to make sure everything is mine. Why are you telling me this? I said, because it's truth. And you're a preacher and you need to hear truth. Everybody said, that's good teaching. I know. You even got to teach your dad sometimes. Here's point number one. Point number one. It's a question. It's worth asking. Point number one. Go in your Bible, if you will, to the book of Numbers, chapter 18. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, chapter 18. Did I say all those things? Goodness gracious. It's not even in my notes. Who does it belong to? We're talking about understanding the tithe. Okay? Who does the tithe belong to? W-H-O, who does the tithe belong to? We have to answer this. Because if we don't answer this, we'll forever walk around wandering aimlessly. Look at verse 21. The Bible says, and behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel. Wait a minute now. Did we say the word all again? Okay. Okay, read it again. And behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel for what? An inheritance. For their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Somebody said, well, I want to hear that one out of the Amplified. All right. And behold, I have given the Levites all the tithes in Israel for an inheritance in return for their service which they serve the menial services of the tent of meeting. Did you understand that? Who does it belong to? It belongs to the Levites. Now let's clarify something here. Levi was the third son of Jacob and Leah. The word Levi actually means to join together, as in to unite. Leah and Jacob were having children, but they weren't united. He loved Rachel more than he loved the sister Leah. So she said, if I name this boy Levi, or unite, to join together, every time I call him, Jacob's going to have to hear this. This boy should unite us. And because Jacob didn't get united to Leah, God says, well, I gave that name. And that name actually means the group of people I will raise up out of Jacob's family to unite the children of Israel with me. I will call them the Levites. And as Levites, their job will be to take care of the tabernacle, take care of the temple, and bring my words and my ways into the nation. Now, for doing this, they must, now listen, understand it has to be like this. The Levites must understand forever, they will not own land. They will not have houses. I, God, am their inheritance. Now, I want you to consider what was just stated there. God says, I am their inheritance, therefore, they're not going to get allocated land like Asher and Naphtali and Zebulun and Gad and Benjamin and Reuben and Simeon, and the list goes on. For the other 11, they're going to have their allocated lands. But for the Levites, they're not going to get land. Now watch this. The Levites had to understand this lest they get mad with God and their brethren. Because they would go home, their brethren would, to their allocated lands. But the Levites had to stay around the house of God. In essence, put it like this. They were renting when everybody else owned. I want you to see this, saints. But God was going to pay their rent through the nation. And the nation was told, you bring your tithe because that's how these boys going to get paid. They don't eat if you don't bring tithing. They don't have a subsistence if you don't tithe. Tithing is a must. Tithing is a covenant. This is what God was teaching them. Tithing is a covenant. So the whole nation learned this together. We must tithe. Because tithing keeps the presence of God with us. Because if them boys not going to be running the tabernacle, how are we going to talk to God? Because God's not going to accept anything through us. We must go through the Levites. Church, if the church can understand this, everybody run and tithe. God speaks to the point man in the house, the point woman in the house. He doesn't arbitrarily speak to everybody else. You hear from God through the set leader. The children of Israel heard from God through Moses, not Korah. Not anybody. I'm not saying God did not anoint them, but to be leader, God just anointed Moses. Moses had to deliver this to people who didn't want to give anything. Just like me. And every preacher who must talk to people who don't understand the concept of giving. Okay, so we go on over here. He says in Numbers 18, 21, "Behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance." So that meant if the 11 tribes gave the Levites what was theirs in tithes, listen to me, no Levite would be broke. Them and their families would be taken care of. They didn't sit down and say, well, how much we're going to pay him? Administration does that. You know what I just said? God did not have an administration. He had Moses as his leader. He says, you tell them people, they're going to give their tithes. Now watch, I'm answering some questions here. We establish, according to this, that it is holy unto the Lord. It is the inheritance of the Levites. But there's some questions people ask. Here's one question I've been asked. Can my tithe, watch this, can my tithe be used to purchase something for the ministry? That's a good question. Can I use my tithe, instead of giving it to the church, can I use my tithe to buy something for the ministry? Here's the answer. No. It is not yours to use. If you use it, you're a crook. Say amen, somebody. That's a powerful question right there. Here's somebody else said this other question here. Can I use it, the tithe, and be credited? See, I use my tithe to do something to help another ministry. Can I be credited? No. No, because you have no rights to touch the tithe. Amen. The only way you can touch it is when you release it. Amen. Now, this is a struggle within the body. What are they going to do with the money? Here's a succinct answer. Never mind. Amen. Yours is to give, not figure out what's going to happen. Boy, I tell you, if we can learn that principle, we give in a hurry. Amen. See, once you release it, it's based on your obedience, and obedience is better than your sacrifice. Amen. And when you release it like this, God is obligated by his word to bless you. Amen. Now, your tithe guarantees you can get another check. But when you withhold, my husband said, don't give. Don't give then. Let me give you a good example. If your husband tells you, sister, don't give. I don't like that church. I don't like that preacher. I don't want you to give my money. Don't give it. Don't give it. And let him see how broke he'll end up. Well, you don't understand. My husband has a lot of money in the bank. Yeah, but you don't understand how God was going to devour in to tax his money. Devour comes in many different phases. Devour could be a car that broke down, a house that needs badly repair, a child that needs money. A devour can be anything. Sickness that's burning up all your money. God says, you don't want to give to me? I'll let the devour come and eat away at everything you put away for your last days. In fact, to tell you that, you go to James chapter 5. This is what the Bible says about those who think they're rich and they've put away their days, their monies. He says, go to how you rich men, for your money has become cankered. You have stored up for the last days, but I seen you oppress those who were poor, and therefore I'm taking your money. Are you getting this? We're talking about understanding the tithe. So no, you cannot use the tithe and be credited. You got no rights. There are some things in life you cannot touch. Whatever belongs to God, listen to me, saints, don't touch. Don't touch. See, that fear needs to come back in us. Obviously, we don't have that fear. We just use the tithe. Buy new shoes, we have no problem. Buy new tires for our car. You know, the Lord knows I need wisdom. If I don't have tires, I can't come to church. You know what? I don't care if you had 4 bald tires and a bald spare. If you believe God and tithe and gave God what it says, God will bless you with new tires. This is not a get-rich Ponzi scheme here. This is God's biblical principle. And the church has moved away from God's biblical principles. We have brought in man's ways through administrations and denominations. First Corinthians chapter 9. Go there with me. First Corinthians chapter 9. Who does the tithe belong to? It belongs to. That's right. It belongs to God. But you have to give it to God through somebody. And sometimes we struggle because we don't like the somebody we have to give it through. Amen. Look, new shirt, new shoes. Look at that. Well, you got a new car now. Wow, you got to look like personalized plates. Doesn't matter if I sit there and burn the money you give. Doesn't matter. And I'm not Chinese, I burn money. But the bottom line, as they do at gravesites, you know they do that, right? I found out that's fake money, though. They burn it, not the ruin. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1. Check it out. I'm reading from the Amplified. Amplified will amplify it for us. Am I not an apostle, a special messenger? Am I not free, unrestrained, and exempt from any obligation? Watch what Paul says. Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are you yourselves not the product and proof of my workmanship in the Lord? That's a number of questions right there. He says, listen, you Corinths, let me tell you guys something. I brought the gospel here. Do you know who I am? Verse 2. Even if I am not considered an apostle, a special messenger by others. At least I am one to you. For you are the seal, the certificate, the living evidence of my apostleship in the Lord, confirming and authenticating it. This is my real ground of defense, my vindication of myself to those who would put me on trial and cross-examine me, says Paul Kamanu. Have we not the right to our food and drink at the expense of the churches? If I'm laboring here and trying to give you spiritual food and showing you how you can make it to the celestial city and overcome every obstacle, am I not right to be compensated? This is what Paul is telling the church. He says, you need to understand something. Have we not the right also to take along with us a Christian sister as wife, as do the other apostles of the Lord, brothers and of Cephas, of Peter? See, they're getting on Paul's case. Well, what you doing with her? Well, don't I have a right to get married? Everybody else is getting married. You see, I'm going to tell you something about religion. Religion will show you. You know, Catholic Church, when they began, they never forbade the priests from having a wife. That's relatively new in their teaching. And they found out the moment they told the men, don't get married, they had a mess of problems in their church. Their altar boys became altered. Their lives were greatly changed. Why? Because these guys who shouldn't have been touching what they touched began touching things they shouldn't have touched. Paul says, in the last days, many shall teach, they shall forbid to get married. Let me tell you something right now. Bible says, it's not good for the man to be alone. Not because he needed a chef, he can always go to a restaurant. Not because he needs somebody to do his laundry, he can always go to the dry cleaners. But he needed somebody who would be his helpmeet, somebody who could kuka, talk with him. And bring him back to planet Earth. Let me tell you something right here, buddy. You think you're handsome in the mirror. I want to tell you something in reality right now. You ain't all that. You need somebody who can tell you that. As long as Adam was alone, he was walking around as Mr. Handsome. But if you marry to Mrs. Wonderful, she'll bring down Mr. Handsome. I tell you that right now. Mrs. Handsome, like, hey, baby, what do you think? Am I? She said, no, you're not that, baby. Come on now. You're not all that, baby. Come on now. And everybody said, psst. There went there. Verse 6. Or is it only Barnabas and I who have no right to refrain from doing manual labor for a livelihood in order to go about the work of the ministry? See what Paul's saying? He says, Barnabas and I, we're working with our hands because we cannot just wait for you guys to tie to us and to give us anything. We the word of God is not bound. We will go there and preach. Amen. See, everybody else is just sitting back and waiting. Well, if they don't bring it, I guess I can't go. Paul says, listen, guys, I got a revelation. If they don't give it to you, go anyways. I told you I have a spare credit card that is just designated to buy tickets. And as long as I keep that at zero balance, I can use it. Why? If nobody give me nothing, I will get it some way, somehow. Amen. Say amen, somebody. Amen. Paul was telling the Corinthian church. He says, listen, I know you guys look at me because I'm not always with you because I'm here, then I'm in Philippi, I'm in Galatia, I'm in Thessalonica. You heard that I went over to Ephesus. And you kind of miffed because you paid me and I'm not always here. But I started this work. You are obligated by God's word to take care of me. Now, I'm going to tell you what happened in the body of Christ with that. When preachers don't get their due, they start taxing the people. Or they start flying around the country preaching just for money. I don't do that. Every place we go, we pay to go there. We pay for our hotel. Only, I think through the years I've been in ministry, almost 30 years, maybe five, if that much, ministries has ever paid for us. But we go, we understand. Listen, I have a conference in a third world nation. We rent the stadium. We give them the money. We do all these things. Why? They don't have the money to do it. We're going to come there and teach them kingdom principles. But let me tell you, if I go there five times, I'm not giving them that much anymore. Because by now they should have learned kingdom principles. To prosper in God means you got to release what you have. I don't care if it's a little or a lot. Release it. God can only bless that which is released. If you don't release, God cannot release. What? If you don't release what you have, how can God and why should God release what he has? You know, there's a lot of preachers struggling right now, can hardly make it because the church gives them $25 and expect them to live forever 2 days and 3 months. When they come before the church, they say, excuse me, would it be possible? What? We gave you $200 3 months ago. What you did with the money? Let's see if you can live on that. Hey, let's turn the table here. Let's see if you can live on what you give. You be putting in prayer requests by the tons. But you ain't never heard me put in a prayer request. Why? Because I understand as a Levite, God will supply all my needs. See, I tell people, I want to be a pastor. They tell me, I want to be a pastor. So let me tell you something right now. If you're called of God, you're going to struggle. But if you're a self-appointed pastor, you're going to take the people's money. Be your new house. Do whatever you want to do. Pastors don't do that. When I was in Samoa ministering, I told him, I said, how can you, a pastor there is called a faifeo. In Tonga, they're called a faifeo. And this is true. And so I said, listen, they said the number one sought after job in Samoa is to be a pastor. I said, why is that? Because they're taken care of for life. I said, oh, wrong concept. Wrong concept. I said, the reason you're a pastor is because God called you to be a pastor. Seminaries cannot call you to be a pastor. Bloodline and family membership cannot call you to be pastors. Because God makes you to be a pastor. See, God has to train you and give you a pastor's heart. God has to give you pastor's eyes, pastor's feelings, pastor's mind. If you don't have this, you're a hireling. You're a hireling. You're only in it for the money. And that's why you have denominational pastors moving from church to church, bigger churches because bigger offerings. And that's a reward from headquarters. You've been good, bro. Now I'm going to promote you and send you to another church. How would you like to have a shepherd that's never with you? See, I thank God. Nobody put me in this church. God allowed me to found this church. Now, I have no problem. I put pastors. We got pastors, associate pastors. I let them minister. Why? Because we got to train these men that God has called to be pastors. Hey, this is what you're going to go through. You're going to meet backstabbers. They smile in your face all the time. They want to take your place. Backstabbers. Backstabbers. It's true. It's true. You got to learn. These are the kind of people you're going to have to work with. Lift up your pants. You show everybody your shin, all the hoof marks. Because sheep kick. They kick you and they bruise you. And you almost want to quit. Wait, I didn't get to the bite side yet. Wait. And you're like, whoa, goodness gracious, Lord. All I did was take them who were grazing in the grass. What happened? That's just part of being a shepherd. You know, we don't really touch this about David when he was a shepherd. But I guarantee you, David was handsome. But I bet you, now I'm not a better, but I would bet you he had all kinds of scars on his legs. Why? Because when he took care of the sheep, he had to come across some stones, some boulders. He tripped, he fell. He did a lot of things like pastors will. Stubbed toes. Many awees when you're a pastor. Oh! You listen to how people talk about you and your family and everything, and you're like, and you're supposed to just suck it in and go on and still take them to water and greener pastures. Can you do that? Because you would quit your job. See, God brings a radical change in us, not just cosmetically, but he brings a radical change within us. You ask Sister Nancy if I was like this before I became a pastor. I was like, shut your mouth, get out of my face. That was the old Paul. But the reason people can rag on me today, because God done changed my heart. I wouldn't take snuff from nobody. But God had to say, come on, I got to change you because you're not fit to be a pastor. So you don't know where I came from. I said, turn the cheek. I'd turn it for you. Pah! Yeah, I'm turning the other one now. If I couldn't whoop you, I'd get somebody to whoop you. That's how I used to be. God says, oh, I need him. I need his tenacity, but I got to change his ways. But I need his tenacity. I got to change his mindset so I can make him a pastor. It's like God took me an open heart surgery and changed my mind, changed my heart, changed my ways. I was like, why am I feeling like this towards people? I wouldn't even tell you hi. I'm all over you. Oh, you. I'm a pastor, saints. And now God has made me an apostle, and I pastor pastors. And I can spot them on TV or wherever. I said, they're not a pastor. They go, I'm a pastor. No, you're not. You got a title, but you don't have the heart. You understand that? So the Levites, now they're the pastors. They're going around doing all these things. And people are like, excuse me, I couldn't get my tithes this week. Why is that? I had to buy a new sheep. I bought an ox. What? Brother, you have not done this to me. You've done this to your family, yourself, and to God. See, because the Levites, they were mistreated by the rest of the people because they're like, it wasn't for me. You wouldn't have that. Your kids wouldn't have that nice shoes. Saints, that's wrong, saints. We don't go to your house and look inside you up. New SUV. I can expect more tithes. We don't do that. We don't even follow you if you don't tithe. We didn't even go to your house. Listen, you're sitting out at the restaurant eating, and we have to go and believe God just for sardine. We don't sit outside the window, Drew, while you're in there eating your nine-course dinner. Why? Because God's our source. So I'm trying to make this humorous. So you see, I'm over this. Because I had a hard time. I like working, and I like money. I said, God, I don't want to be broke. I said, these people think they can control me. I'm just pointing, not to you folks. I'm just pointing. These people think they can control me. I learned a long time ago from my father in heaven. Don't let nobody control you. Let me control you. Amen. He said, well, come over here. If you preach for me, I'll give you this. I preached one time in this church. Before I got up, I was so embarrassed. They took an offering for me. Pretty good sum. And they said, now here, work for your money. Oh, I hated that. They're inferring I'm a hireling. Work for my money? I mean, God moved in spite of me. God moved. God said, knock your money, but put the temperature down because I said, oh, but did you hear what they called me? They said, I'm going to remember this. He says, preach what I told you to preach. Boy, I tell you what, steam was coming out of my ears like I was cooking chasu bao. I was like, oh, I'm going to get you for this. I'm going to find a new scripture just for her. Watch this one. I got this. Whatever you got to do, do quickly, devil. Whatever you. I mean, God said, no, you can't go there. The reason I tell you that, because money touches a magic button in our life. A husband will romance his wife, but if he finds out she took his money, I don't care how much loving he got, he manifests. What? I mean, he went from cross eyes to what? Something about money. Money will make people do a lot of things only because they're dumb enough to allow money to control them. Oh, this is good teaching right here. All right, we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We're in verse number 7. You know, follow with us. Come on, no. One. Let's start over. Rewind this CD. Consider this, verse 7. Consider this. What soldier at any time serves at his own expense? Listen to me, George Bush. There is no ways on God's green earth our soldiers should be on food stamps. There is no ways our military should have to put in for some kind of governmental help. That's right. These people sacrificing their lives, the least we should do is make sure they live good, they eat good, their children are cared for. That's the obligation of a nation. Right. And here are our guys coming back from the war, their wives out there having to get three jobs, Pizza Hut, Domino's, and now Papa John's, because that's all they know to do, move pizza. And so they work for three pizza places. Because daddy's out there giving his life in Afghanistan, Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan, Iraq, Iran. We are in Iran too, saints. They're just not telling you. In all these other places, in the Persian Gulf, we're in every Gulf. And here the husband has a hard time getting an income and ain't got no medical for the family. Something's wrong. Paul says, you mean a soldier's going to go to battle and pay for it himself? See, this is a concept the church still hasn't learned. Oh, brother, come, I heard that revelation that God poured to you, bro. Come share with my church. I said, okay. Now, when I come with a team, you know, we need to, brother, we're just going to believe God. Wait a minute now. You want me to train your people to become soldiers? And you don't want to compensate us for doing so? At least cover my expenses. See, now, that's the fault of a lot of preachers. Because preachers have become so greedy, they're taking out wheels in this one church ministry. I mean, you know, we took a good offering for this man of God. I ministered. Altar call was great, everything. Then he called me back up. He says, oh, what was your name again? I just preached for him. What's your name again? Paul. Come on, stand with me. So come on, say, how many of you were blessed by Brother Paul today? I want you to come and love on him and bring something with you and put it in his pocket. Hug on him. Don't just hug him, but put some money in his pocket. Show him you love him. Bless him. So when it was true, I went to sit, thank everybody, I went to sit down. He stopped me. He says, tell me how much they gave you. I said, what? Tell me how much they gave you so I can make up the rest. I said, now. Now remember, he just said before I got up to preach, they already took an offering for me. So this is like whip on the cream. So I'm like, okay. He never made a move. So I told the guys with me, I said, let's go. So we jumped in the car. We left. He didn't give us nothing. Just left. In other words, he kept the offering things. He kept the offering. So I preached at somebody else's church. They said, oh, where'd you just come from preaching? I told them, they said, did he take your offering? I said, excuse me? It was already known that he does that. Has preachers come in, take an offering, and keep it. That was on the mainland, but that also happens in Hawaii. Let me tell you that right now. Isn't that something? There's no fear. If there's no fear in the pulpit, how are you going to have fear in the congregation? Say amen, somebody. Anyhow, we're reading something on over here. Where are we in time-wise? Oh, goodness gracious. We got to close pretty soon, somebody said. No, that person said, I mean, verse 1. Consider this. What soldier at any time serves at his own expense? Watch. Who plants a vineyard and does not eat any of the fruit of it? Who tends a flock and does not partake of the milk of the flock? How in the world can I not drink the milk? How in the world I can't eat the fruit? I planted the trees. How can you put kapu, no trespassing? This is tantamount to what people do. That's why boards needs all to be pulled off. If boards are regimental and they're not filled with the Spirit of God, listen, let me tell you something. Acts chapter 6, they found businessmen to run the church. Holy Spirit-filled business people who had an understanding. The apostles shouldn't be worrying about how to pay this and what widow going to get her canned food and who going to get all these things. It should be the job of us. There's a separating between me running the church and me ministering to the church. You understand that? So what happened? So when the church don't receive proper instruction, the church never really grows. And if it does experience growth, it's temporal. Why is that? Because it's not rooted and grounded in the Word. Now understand this. Revelation doesn't come just overnight or if you turn to the last book of the Bible. It took years for us to get the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, somebody. It's a 66 book. There's a long time from Genesis to Revelation. And now that we're receiving revelation, some of you are getting it within 3 years of being born again. Others took them 20 years to get the same revelation you're enjoying right now. This is the job of the nation of Israel. Make sure our priests are taken care of. If not, you know how our priests will be? Exactly like Jesus said in the story of the Good Samaritan. You had a priest, you had a Levite. They were running down to Jericho and wouldn't even minister. They were called to minister. They wouldn't even minister to the guy half dead in the road. Because the church never took care of them and they were, oh, I got to parlay my money, every little I got. Because Jericho was their Palm Springs. It was their Las Vegas. They're going to go over there and gamble. You go to Jericho today, it's a gambling place. The Palestinians got it, now they have a casino down there and all the Jews go down there and gamble. There's a spiritual aspect to that, see? That guy said, I ain't touching that joker. Man, I'm going to miss the Baccarat game if I touch him now. I can't play Keno if I... And they missed out on their opportunity because the church failed them. It was the duty of the nation of Israel to see their Levites and say, sir, is everything well with your family? Is there any needs you have? Can we take care of you? Because if you don't do it, who will? Because the Levites, it was not their job to solicit. It was their job to receive. You get that? All right. Let's go on over here. Powerful words. Thank you, Paul. Apostle Paul. Do I say this only on human authority and as a man reasons? Does not the law endorse the same principle? For in the law of Moses it is written, listen to this, saints, you shall not muzzle an ox when it is treading out the corn. Is it only for oxen that God cares? He says, so you can feed the oxen that worked hard, but you don't have to take care of we who feed you spiritually? He says, that's wrong, church. That's wrong. Yeah. See, because what happens is, saints are not ignorant. I mean, the Bible illustrates that we are like sheep, dumb. That means we don't speak with it when we should. And, you know, anyhow, but saints begin to add. How much we give them an offering? Or how much tithes did I give them? How much did you tithe? How much did you tithe? And they go row by row and say, that's a lot of money. What in the world is he doing with that money? Saints, I got to tell you once again, it's none of your business. Listen to me. Some people get mad with Fred Price, with Dr. Fred Price, who drives a limousine. I mean, he drives like a Rolls Royce. But if he has a 10,000-member church and everybody's tithing, he can afford a Rolls Royce. And you can't get mad at him, because if that's what he wants, let him go. He'll stand before God and give an account. But if you're still driving your Tercel and he's driving a Rolls Royce, so what? God will bless you because you've been obedient to God. Take your eyes off the man of God and put it back on God and his word. We do this, we be blessed, saints. I'll tell you something. I never taught this before. I have never taught this before. And the Holy Spirit told me, you need to teach the people. I was more like, because that's the local side of me. He's like, oh, Lord, it would probably be hard enough. I have a hard time giving. He says, I don't care. My principle worked in the wilderness. It'll work in the city. He says, I'll tell you another thing, too. If they wanted to do something, they'd find the money to do it. Listen to what the Bible says over here. Verse 10. Or does he speak certainly and entirely for our sakes? Assuredly, it is written for our sakes, because the plowman ought to plow in hope, and the thresher ought to thresh in expectation of partaking of the harvest. If we have sown the seed of spiritual good among you, is it too much if we reap from your material gains or benefits? He says, if I'm giving you spiritual stuff, is it wrong for me to take the monies you give? Answer is no, saints. If sound doctrine comes like this, listen to me. If we begin to teach this, right, you will understand we're blessed. We're blessed. We're blessed. Now, you go out there, get a good job, God bless you, you can do all these things, but there's a restriction on the Levites as to how far we can go. If we're going to bury our face in the word of God and really be the true men and women of God like God wants us to as leaders, as Levites, I'll use the title Levites, then there are some restrictions that God places upon us. He gives you freedoms that we don't have. Paul says, listen, you're free to do what you want to do. I cannot. You can invest in places where you want to. I cannot as a preacher. Because I cannot set my sights on carnal things. I believe that God, through you, will take care of my carnal needs through the finances. But I'm going to set my face. And that's why I try to bring you messages, cutting-edge messages. Listen, some people hear us. My friend came to our church one day. He looked at our building. He went, oh, with all the things I hear you doing, I thought you got like 2,000, 3,000 people in your church. I'm like, bro, I wouldn't even have 200. How are you doing this? By applying God's word. By applying God's word. Here's point number two. Let's go to point number two. Are you getting something out of this? Amen. All right. Genesis chapter 8 talks about the principle of what? Seed time and harvest. You know when it rains, people say, oh man, it's raining. Yeah, God's allowing the earth to grow. God's giving you water to drink. Come on, somebody. Genesis chapter 8 tells us something very, very powerful. Verse number 22, last scripture verse there. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. Doesn't matter what Al Gore says. God established it in his word. While the earth remains, there's going to be time to give and time to reap. Now listen to me. When you give your tithe, listen to me. When you give your tithe, don't moan. Oh God, it's a joy for me to give this, because I know what's going to be given back to me is another check plus other ways I'll be blessed. If we can understand this right here, seed time and harvest. When you give your tithe, it's a seed. It's the seed of your obedience. Listen to me. It's the seed of your obedience. And when you give with a good heart, give because you're obedient to God. God is obligated. God got gazillion, carillion, a brilliant angels out there. No such word. I just made it up. But God got all these angels out there to bless you. God got angels to go there and nudge somebody and say, go over there and give them the money. People get the cases of can't help it. So, I don't know. Please don't get offended, but I don't know. But I just feel like I got to give you this. And don't go, it color my no. Take it, bless them, and leave. God got people on your job who's not even talking to you that he could bless, so they bless you. Obedience brings great rewards. My family called me, they broke. My brothers and sisters, they broke. Bah, 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 bah. Bleh, bleh, bleh. That's all, folks. You got to learn how to give. You don't tell me, well, you know, remember we was raised in Camford housing? Listen, we're not there now. And if we were, we still should be giving. Don't let your current dilemma dictate your future. I don't care if you live in a housing, guess what? Every day you thank God you're getting out of that housing. Now, ain't nothing wrong with a housing. What makes the housing bad is the occupants. So that's a bad house. No, the house is good. It's the occupants that's no good. I've never met a bad wood, a terrible beam, and a nasty nail. But the things that hold together and support those evil people inside, that's what the Bible says. If the beam could cry out to the timber, guess what they're doing in this house? I saw them yesterday. I saw them. Somebody say, if these walls could talk, you don't want them to talk. Amen. Say amen, somebody. Amen. Go to Genesis chapter 14. Since we're in Genesis chapter 8, go to 14. You're only a few pages away. Beginning in verse number 14. Listen to what the word of the Lord says. Genesis 14, 14. When Abram heard that his nephew Lot had been captured, he armed, led forth the 318 trained servants born in his own house and pursued the enemy as far as Dan. He divided his forces against them by night. Now, I got to tell you something right here. That previous verse, let me read the previous verse, the last part. The Bible says, he pursued the enemy as far as Dan. Did you get that? He pursued the enemy as far as what? Okay, I got to tell you something right now. Can I tell you something right now? Dan was never born. Dan was never born. Dan is one of the sons, right, of Jacob. Jacob wasn't born yet. But God already, before Isaac was born, was calling the land where the people resided that hijacked his Abraham's nephew. That's Dan's land. Even as far as Dan. When I just studied, I'm like, God, that Dan wasn't even born. He says, oh, revelation now. God says, that's Dan's land, and Dan's not even here. That's a fact, Jack. No wonder it says in Romans 4, he calleth those things which are not as though they were. God says he went as far as up to the land of Dan. Dan was not even there, but God says, oh, that's his land. That's his land. That's Lebanon, everybody. All right, we read some more over here, what the Bible says. Did you get something out there? Okay. He divided his forces against them by night, he and his servants, and attacked and routed them, and pursued them as far as Hobah, which is north of Damascus. Yeah, it's up there. Another country. Now watch this. And he brought back all the goods and also brought back his kinsmen, Lot, and his possessions, the women also and the people. After his, Abram's return from the defeat and slaying of Chedorlaomer, and the kings who were with him, the kings of Sodom, went out to meet him at the valley of Shaveh, that is the king's valley. Melchizedek, king of Salem, later called Jerusalem, brought out bread and wine for their nourishment. He was the priest of the Most High God. Watch this now. God Most High. He blessed him and said, bless, favored, and blessings made blissful, joyful be Abram of by God Most High, possessor and maker of heaven and earth. Don't forget the maker. God is the possessor, but every generation he begins to make. He's still the maker. God is still the maker. You have not received your true inheritance. He's making. People are in there building the house that's going to be yours. People are possessing lands that's yours. God's going to let them stay on there, pay the tax, pay everything. Then when your time comes, he shifts you there if you are obedient. The Bible says, verse 20, and blessed, praised, and glorified be God Most High, who has given your foes into your hand. Watch. And Abram gave a tenth of all he had taken. All he had taken. All the tithe is mine. He said, look, we took a whole lot, King. And on my way home, I just got the case of the can't help it. I'm going to give you 10%. I'm going to give you 10% because you represent the Most High God. This is the first time we know of Abram ever met the man and gave him tithes. So you don't have to know somebody, i.e. your pastor, to tithe. If that's where God planted you, tithe. Now these TV preachers say, well, y'all watching me at home. You don't go to church and you need to send your tithe to me. You better qualify that statement, preacher man. Because if they're attending the church, and even though they may get more from you, they need to be obligated to their home church. Don't come flying here in your special Learjet, have three services over a weekend, and fly out of here without money. Like something's about to do. Seed time and harvest. Here's point number three now. We won't close this thing on time. We all right. Hebrews chapter 7. We're talking about a perpetual covenant of blessings. Everybody say perpetual. Say that's a long time. That's a long time. And that's a long, long time. Hebrews chapter 7. Good, huh? I mean, this will bring our family out. Listen, you think you're in the groove when actually you're in a rut. Need to bring you out. Got to go to the east side. That deluxe apartment in the sky. Fish don't fry in the kitchen. Beans don't burn on the grill. Got a whole lot of what? Just to get up the hill. Now we up in the big leagues. All right, verse 1. For this Melchizedek, we just read about him in Genesis chapter 14, right? The king of Salem and priest of the Most High God met Abraham as he returned from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. Watch. Abraham gave to him a tenth portion of all the spoil. He is primarily, as his name when translated indicates, king of righteousness. And then he also is king of Salem, which means king of peace. Without record of father or mother or ancestral line, neither with beginning of days nor ending of life, but resembling the Son of God. Aha. He continues to be a priest without interruption and without successor. You know, he's talking about the Lord. This is Abraham giving to the Lord. Come on now. This is Abraham, the only person who has no beginning and no end is the Lord. So Abraham comes back and he sees the Lord. Where? In the city of peace. And the first thing the Lord does is, come on, let's have communion, son. This is before Isaac was going to be offered up, because Isaac is still in. If this is chapter 14 of Genesis, Isaac's not going to be offered up, or at least attempted to be offered up in chapter 22. So he's 8 chapters away, which is many, many years. But anyhow, as the Bible says over here. Now, observe and consider how great a personage this was to whom even Abraham, the patriarch, gave a tenth. Listen to this, amplified. The topmost or the pick of the heap of the spoils. That's what your tithe is. It's the topmost, the pick of the heap. Now you say, well, hang on now, Apostle. You got to understand one thing. I'm a tax-paying, law-abiding citizen. And the government of the United States of America, because I claim X amount, has taken off the top. Therefore, I can give him the top. Yes, you can. Whatever is your gross is the top. You still give that. Well, but you don't understand. They took like 33%. Oh, no, you don't understand. God don't care what they did. God cares about what you do. Huh? That means I had left money. No. God says obedience is better than sacrifice. That's why you didn't have to be dependent on slot machines. Come on, somebody. You didn't have to worry about playing Keno and going and somebody coming and told me that I did. I don't know. Are you saying I cannot go and play the lottery? I never said that. But if that's your hope, you're in deep trouble. Come on, somebody. We don't have to play lottery, but we need legalized gambling. If people are not tithing and giving an offering now, if they legalize gambling in Hawaii, we're going to lose a lot of saints. We're going to lose a lot of saints because the majority of the body of Christ still goes to Vegas. Pastor, pray for me that God, you know, God, if I get blessed, Pastor, what? If you cannot tithe your $20 now, what makes you think you're going to give us $2,000 when you crack $20,000? I know it hurts, but I got to tell the truth. Pastor, if you just pray for me right now, I got a feeling this is the one. Now, to make it legal, what they do is they put bingo parlors on military bases. And people go from this church and many churches, they go over there, and they're playing bingo for $49.50 with a dinner. It's happening in Hawaii. Don't tell me they're going to legalize gambling when the nightly news can tell you during the football season, the point spread out of Chinatown, gambling is legal. You cannot just openly go on television and tell somebody, well, Hawaii is favored by 18 and a half. Well, who came up with that odds? And nobody, to my knowledge, on all the networks we have in Hawaii has ever stopped their sports person from saying how much the point spread is. Gambling is a way of life in the Hawaiian Islands. But let me teach you something here. Tithing is not a gamble. Tithing is not a gamble. You don't tithe because I'm telling you to tithe. You tithe because God said to tithe. You got all these great debaters saying, well, I think that's under the old covenant. I think that's under the law. Well, the 14th chapter of Genesis came way before the law. And then in the book of Luke, Jesus talked about the Pharisees who was tithing even down to the anise and the cumin. So in the New and the Old Testament, tithing is taught. So here the Bible tells us, here, right, smack dab in the middle. We give the tithe to the Lord who lives forever. Now watch this. The Bible says, and it is true that those descendants of Levi, verse 5, who are charged with the priestly office, that's Levites, are commanded in the law to take tithe from the people. Take tithe from the people. We're commanded by God to take your tithe. Which means from their brethren, though these have descended from Abraham. Though you're not from Abraham, no, but you know what? Through Jesus Christ I am. Are you getting this? Now watch, we're going to bring this to a close just when we finish. But I want you to see something very, very important. Very, very important. As we begin to look at the Word of God and delve into the Word of God, we begin to get a clearer understanding. Wait a minute. I'm not giving because He's telling me I got to give. I'm not giving because... Listen to me. I've learned something very, very great. Through the years, I've learned something very marvelous. God keeps His Word. I went to buy a truck. I'm going to tell you a testimony here. I went to buy a truck. My credit is not the best on Earth, in Mars, or Venus. My credit is not the best. I just tell you that up front. My credit is not the best. Okay, watch this. I ain't ashamed of it. My credit is not the best. I knew there was no way in the natural I should get my truck. They let me take the truck home and says, we're trying to find a bank to finance you. Wait a minute now. How can you let me drive the truck and you're still trying to find a bank to finance me? 1 month later, they're still trying to find a bank to finance me. Meanwhile, I'm still putting gas and driving my truck. Because I had you guys pray for the truck. We prayed for the truck. This truck is used for the service of God. Ain't no devil gonna take this truck. Finally, they call me in and say, hey, can you come and sign the paper? Because I think we found a bank. Now, they gotta be God. Why? Because my credit's not good on earth, but in heaven, I got good credit. But God, look at the book. He said, he's the guy he tithes, right? He gives the honor, right? Bless him. And it was a cussing, unsaved man who helped me. Everybody say, watch out, God. Come on now. Tithing has spiritual ramifications. I'm trying to teach you this. We're about to close this when we finish. Watch this. This is good stuff. The Bible says, a person might even say, verse 9, that Levi, the father of the priestly tribe himself, who received tithes the tenth, paid tithes through Abraham. For he was still in the loins of his forefather Abraham, great-granddaddy, when Melchizedek met with Abraham. Ain't that something? He was still inside, not even a now yet. I mean, he was inside the loins. He's still somewhere in somewhere in there he was. I'm going to tell you, man. I'm going to tell you something right now. God's already going to bless your children, not even born. God's going to bless your grandchildren. They're not even born. If you do right, they'll be blessed. That's why, and if they don't do right, erase the past by repenting and say, from this day forward, I'm going to do right so my future has a future. Yeah. Say amen, somebody. Yeah. Oh, I want people to know, that if you give to God, you're blessed. Oh, I'm so excited. Yeah. I think I like it. I'm about to teach some more. Anyhow. The Bible says something. I like this. I close with verse 10. For he was still in the loins of his forefather Abraham when Melchizedek met him. So what happens when you come in line and you tithe? Your grandchildren. Watch this. Levi was the great-grandson. Your great-grandchildren. Watch. Your great-grandchildren going to get land because you gave. Not going to struggle because you gave. Tithing is generational. It'll bless your generations because it's perpetual. So we say, Uamauke ea okaina, itapono, o Yesu Christo. The life of our land is only perpetuated in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And the righteous king of Salem said to us, tithe. Tithe. Because when you give me what's mine, I'll give you an abundance. I used to sing a song in church. You can't beat God giving no matter how you try. The more you give, the more he gives to you. So keep on giving because it's really true. You can't beat God giving. You give 10, he gives you back 50. You give 50, he parlays that to 150. You give 150, he gives you 450. The odds are always greater in God's house. Come on, somebody. Well, how much are they going to give you? 5 1/4. 5 1/4. God don't, listen to me. I'm a quiet. Father, I thank you right now for this word that touched my life. Thank you that I can give my tithe. I give my tithe before I have a check. I know you the most high God. You're going to bring it in before I got it in my possession. I love you. Help the people to receive this information that brings transformation in Jesus' name. Somebody say, amen. Hey, give Jesus.